Today's Shir Masech, the site of Daf Yud, we will begin Bezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Yud Amit Aleph at the second line, Vayigdal Hanar. The Gemara continues to discuss Shimshon, who we began discussing in yesterday's Shir, and the Pasuk says regarding Shimshon, Vayigdal Hanar, and Shimshon grew up, Vivarcheu Hashem, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu blessed him. So ask the Gemara, what was the bracha that he was given? And as I saw, the Mefarshim explained the Gemara's question, that typically the word bracha represents that there was something more, there was a multiplication. What grew as a result of this bracha? Says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Merav, Shebirchai Ba'amasai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu branched him with his private parts. Amasik b'nei Adam, he looked like a regular human being. Vizaroi k'nachashaytif. That even though he had the same private parts like all human beings, he was able to have more zera, more semen than everyone else. What that represents is that that's a bracha that he would be able to have more children. Says the Gemara, after Plishtim captured Shimshon, we mentioned they poked at his eyes and they put him next to the beams on which the building stood, and all of the people of Plishtim, particularly the leaders of Plishtim, were celebrating and they were bringing karbanos to their gods. At that point, says the Pasuk, V'yikra Shimshon al Hashem, Shimshon cries out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'yoymer, Hashem al-Kim, Zuchreini no, V'chaskeini no, Ach ha-pam hazeh, V'nokman nakim achas mishteim, Enayim replishtim. Shimshon calls out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and cries out to him and says, Remember me this one time and give me the opportunity to have nekama for at least one of the eyes that they poked at. Says the Gemara, please, Zechali, remember Esrim Shana Sheshafati Tes Yisrael, the 20 years that I led Klai Yisrael, honestly, I never asked anybody in Klai Yisrael, Havli Makol Mimakam Mimakam, move a stick for me from one place to another place. So the Ein Yaakov explains what does the makel represent. What was Shimshon davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu strictly about the makel? So he explains that Shimshon was lame and he had to walk with a stick, but he never asked anybody to help him even move that stick. That's the pshat that Ein Yaakov says. Another pshat that I saw is that the Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin identifies what are the Kli HaDayonim, that there are certain instruments that a Dayan always has to have available. And they are a Ritzua, that was a belt with which they would give Makkas, and a Makkah and a stick. And Shimshon said that I went from place to place to judge Klai Yisrael, but I never asked for anything. So my shot, and I never asked anybody to help me or take care of me. I was careful not to take anything as I was a judge. So the Mashah explains, now we can understand what is the connection between this request that Shimshon made to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the poking of his eyes. Because we know the Pasuk says the Mashah, somebody who takes bribes, the punishment that the Torah gives him is that he will become blind. So Shimshon says, here, my eyes were poked out. And people will say that the reason my eyes, people might say that the reason my eyes were poked out is because I took bribery. So he says that I want nobody to accuse me of that. And because I want no one to accuse me of that, please don't let my eyes, let them see that I get the nekama for my eyes, and it'll be a proof that I was honest. Another pshat that I saw is that, as we discussed in our previous year, Shimshon married Delilah. And the halacha is that a melech, a king, is not, even if we'll suggest, and it seems that that is the fact, that Shimshon was Megayer Delilah, Shimshon converted her, the halacha is a melech is not supposed to marry a geyoris. So Shimshon says, "Don't, that isn't a claim against me, because I never acted like a melech. A melech has people taking care of him. I never asked for anything. And therefore, since I never asked for anything, I'm not a king, and that's why I'm deserving that I should have a nekama in one of my eyes." Another pshat that I saw is that schar mitzvah b'hai al malika. We're not entitled to request schar in this world. However, we know the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Daf Yud Amud Aleph, teaches us that somebody who judges Klal Yisrael in an honest fashion is nasa shutuf l'Kadosh Baruch Hu, becomes a partner l'Kadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, what Shimshon's request that Kadosh Baruch Hu was that I became your shutuf, because as we said, I had the makel, and because of that, I deserve perhaps to be spared. The Sefer Panim Yafis, I deserve to get a nekama. The Sefer Panim Yafis says that we know that when Yaakov Avinu in Parshas Vayechi gives brachas to the Shvatim, the brach that he gives to Sheva Don is Don Yodin Amoy Ka'achet Shifti Yisrael. What that means is that what Yaakov Avinu was referring to was to Shimshon. And not only was he referring to Shimshon, but he was specifically referring to the way our Gemara just described that Shimshon's honesty and Shimshon never taking anything from anybody else. And what he says here is Don Yodin Amoy Ka'achet Shifti Yisrael, like what that Shimshon was saying Yaakov Avinu was saying that Shimshon becomes the model, he becomes the paradigm of what a shofet in Yisrael is supposed to be. The Ben Yoyada has a different pshat. The Ben Yoyada says that Shimshon said that indeed I deserve to be punished because, as we discussed in our previous year, Shimshon married many women. However, on the other hand, he didn't take shaykhar on any hand. So, from one hand, he deserves to be punished with his eyes for looking for what he wasn't supposed to look. On the other hand, he deserves not to be punished with his eyes for the way he judged Klal Yisrael. And because of that, Shimshon said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Nekoyim nikmas achas me'einai." One of my eyes that I don't have, I should be spared. One eye, I don't understand why I deserve to be punished. Says the Gemara, V'yelech Shimshon, and the Pasuk says that regarding Shimshon, that he married a woman from Pelishtim, and after a while, her father married off this woman to someone else and did not allow Shimshon to marry her. V'yelech Shimshon, so the Pasuk says that Shimshon went V'yilkot shloish me'yishulim. He caught 300 faxes. Asked the Gemara, Mashna Shulam, why specifically were it faxes that Shimshon captured? Omer Rav Ivi Bad Negdi, Omer Rav Chibar Abba, Omer Shimshon. Shimshon said, Yovim Misha Chazal Acharev, the shul, the fax, when he is being chased, he doesn't run away, he just retreats backwards. V'yifarim Yiplashtim, that I will use the fax to take Nekam and the Plishtim, Shechaz Meshvasim, that they backed off. This father had promised me that he would, give me his daughter, and he went back on his words. I have a right to, I will use the fax to do what I have to do. Tanya Amar Rav Shimon Achosid, Bank Yosefus HaShimshon, the area between the two shoulders of Shimshon, Shishim Amahaya, was a width of 60 amah. Shenemar, v'yimshkav Shimshon, the pasuk says that when Shimshon arrived to Aza and the Plishtim were looking to catch him, they closed all the gates of the city in order that he should not be able to escape. And the pasuk says, v'yishkav Shimshon ad chatzi alayla, v'yokim chatzi alayla, v'yachaz b'dalsos shari ir, v'shteyam zuzos, he picked up the gates of the city, v'yisoim, he ripped them out from the place, im abriach, with their lack, v'yosim al ksefav, and put them on his shoulders. V'gmiri, and we knew, says the Gemara, that ain dalsos azah, that the width of the dalsos of Aza p'chusim yachaf amam, that there were 20, that there were 60 amma. So if they have 60 amma, and he was able to put it on his shoulders, that means he was able, the width of his shoulders were that long. The Mashah Hever says that it's difficult to say, maybe his shoulders were, the area was less, and he had them sticking out, because the fact that the Pasuk goes out of its way to describe what happened, it must be to teach us how wide his shoulders were. The Ben Yoyada says that if the width between his shoulders was 60 amma, he must have been 100 amma tall. And therefore the Ben Yoyada says that it's difficult to accept that Shimshon was 100 amma tall. There's never been anyone that's 100 amma tall. But if you have 60 amma between your shoulders, proportionally suggests the Ben Yoyada you're going to be that tall. And therefore, he says that the pshat of this Gemara is not that there were actually 60 amma between his shoulders, but rather the way to understand the Gemara is that he had the strength between his shoulders to hold something which was 60 amma wide. The pasuk says that when the Plishtim ultimately captured Shimshon, they put him into prison, and the pasuk says, "Vayhi toichin v'beis asurim." What does that mean? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, when the pasuk uses that word, it means lashon avera. The kena omer, as we find in Iyov, titchan la'achar ishti. The pasuk means that there does an avera. Melamed, and what actually happened? What does this pasuk refer to? Melamed shkalach v'achar hevelos ishti l'beis asurim. Everyone brought their wife to the prison, kadesh shidus abri menu, in order that she should become pregnant from Plishtin. Amra papa. And Rapapa says, because they all wanted to have children that were strong and powerful like Shimshon. And Amar Rapapa, Hanadam Rinchi, what happened here is what people say, Kamadashasi Chamra Chamra, person who always drinks wine, you bring wine to him. Kame Rufka, and somebody who works on a field, Gradadavla, you always give him vegetables. Everybody, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, brings to everybody what they're used to. And I saw pshat in this Gemara that one pshat is that they all want their wives to become pregnant from Shimshon. Is that what we expect? So I saw pshat was that they wanted to wear him out. And by having him have relations with all these women, they thought they would be able to wear him out and ultimately be able to kill him. What is pshat? In the Gemara says that somebody who always drinks wine gets wine. So Maral explains that Rapapa means to say that somebody who drinks wine, that's what he's interested in eating. Shimshon, since he always having relations with women, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you everybody what he needs. And I saw that the Ben Yoyada actually explains this Gemara based on a story that's quoted in the Medrash. He says, there was a person who was unfortunately an alcoholic, and everything he owned, he sold in order to be able to get wine. And his children were obviously very concerned. They were concerned about his health. They were concerned that he would sell away all of his assets. And they did was, they gave him to drink until he was entirely intoxicated. They took him into a cave outside the city, a place where a cave where people were buried, that when he'll wake up, he'll realize what happened, and he'll see that this is what happens when you get drunk, and maybe that will prevent them from getting drunk. They left the cave, and what happened was that donkey drivers arrived with barrels of wine, and what they did was that they heard there was a commotion in the city, so they were concerned to come into the city with their bottles of wine. So what they did was they took the bottles of wine and left them in this cave where this intoxicated individual was sleeping. He wakes up in the morning. What does he see? He sees bottles of wine. This is for him paradise. And when the donkey drivers came back, they saw he was laying there. There's one bottle of wine, and he was laying there drunk with that bottle of wine. After a number of days, this man's children were concerned, where's our father? And they went back to the cave. And what did they see? They saw that their father, who they thought they would be able to separate him from the wine, was laying there with wine. So what do we see? That somehow a person always ends up with what he wants to get. Similarly here too, Shimshon lived his life that way. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a situation that should happen, that the wine should be there for him. Vama Rabbi Yochanan, Kala Ishtoi, Kala Mizana, if somebody acts immorally, Ishtoi Mizananis. What will happen will be that his wife will also act immorally. Olav, Mizanis Olav, will act immorally versus him. Shnei Mem Nifta Libi Alisha, V'Pesach Rei Arafti. If I was immoral with somebody else's man, wife, Iksiv, Titchan Lacha Ishti, V'Lei Chur Nachrin. V'Ani Daraminen She'i Beikari. If the husband is busy with large cucumbers, V'Tasi Beitzuni, his wife will be busy with small cucumbers. In other words, what the Gemara means to say is, Shimshon lived this way, and that's what happened with his wives. And in fact, the Chidah explains this Gemara is very much connected to Halacha, which is Halacha that comes up often in this Masechta. In this Masechta, we know that as much as the Halacha is that the wife drinks the Meisaita on the circumstances that we have been discussing, the halacha is that the meisaita only effective on the wife if the husband is innocent. But if the husband's not innocent, then the meisaita will not be potent against the wife. The Ben Yoyada finds this gemara difficult. He says just because one member of the couple is acting not properly doesn't have to mean that the other is as well. So he explains that this is what should be. If a wife sees her husband acting improperly, it brings that type of atmosphere into the home, and she won't consider it improper to act immorally, but it doesn't mean that it has to happen. Vam Rav Yochanan, Shimshon Tanis Yisrael, Kaviyim Shem Shemayim. Shimshon judged Klai Yisrael, similarly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shnemar, pasuk that we quoted earlier in the shir, Don Yodin Amoy Kachet Shifta Yisrael. And Rashi explains that just like a Kadosh Baruch Hu judges the world in the most honest and fair fashion, so too Shimshon judged Klal Yisrael in an honest fashion. The Maral explains that what is pshat when the Gemara says Ka'achad? What's pshat when the Pasuk says Kachet Shifta Yisrael? He says you could have more than one thing of anything in the world. You could have two tables, you could have two chairs, you could have anything. You could have a multiple amount of anything. There's only one thing that cannot be more than one, and that is the emes. There's only one truth. And what the Gemara means to say here, says the Maral, that Shimshon was so honest, ka'achad, his honesty was ka'achad Shimcha Yisrael, that the emes was achad, that was what led him. Another pshat that I saw from the Iyun Yaakov was that just like a Kadosh Baruch Hu knows the truth, and normally Dayanim need Edim, need witnesses, and need all other things that help him get to the truth, Shimshon was able to recognize the truth, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu realizes the truth. Another pshat that I saw is that many dayanim, when they pask in the din Torah, they have their own interest in mind. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, does only what is truth. And so too was Shimshon's. Shimshon, when he did a din Torah, when he judged Klal Yisrael, the only thing that he did was to do what was right. There were no other ulterior motives involved. Shimshon Ashmoy Shekadosh Baruch Hu Nikra. Shimshon has the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu with him. Shenema Kishemesh Umagen Hashem Alekim. The Kadosh Baruch Hu, who's the Shemesh Umagen, Shimshon has those Shemesh Umagen. El Ma'ata, says the Gemara, if that is indeed the case, that the name Shimshon represents the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the halacha ought to be, asked the Gemara Lo Yimacha, that it should not be allowed to be erased, just like we, of course, may not erase the name of Hashem. Ella, says the Gemara, what's meant to say is, Me'ein Shmoy HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means that he has part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's characteristics, as we just explained, and explains the Gemara, Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Megin HaKol HaOlam Kulay, protects the world, Af Shimshon B'dayroi, Megin B'dayroi Al Yisrael, Shimshon protected in Klal Yisrael. The Tosfos asks, if we're learning here that anything that represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name may not be erased, so as Tosfos, then the halacha ought to be that you should not be allowed to erase the name of Shalom. So Tosfos suggests that absolutely you're not allowed to erase the name Shalom. The Gemara doesn't mention that you're not allowed to erase the name Shalom, but it's taken for granted. The Mefarshim explain that what's pshat that we compare Shimshon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know, explains the Sefer Teres Tzion, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Malei Rachmim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Rachmanos on Klal Yisrael, and even if they didn't do tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Rachmanos on us. The same thing was with Shimshon. In the time of Shimshon, Klal Yisrael had not yet done tshuva, but Shimshon still protected them. Vam Rabbi Yochanan Bilam, Chigab Ragla Achas Hoya. Bilam was lame on one foot. Shenemar v'yelech shefi. One foot was out of place. Shimshon, we said at the beginning of the shir, was lame on both feet. Shenemar shvifin oyle oyrech. He couldn't walk properly with both feet. So the Mashal explains that teach us how terrible Bilam was. Even though Bilam had difficulty walking, he still did not hold himself back from walking to try to curse Klal Yisrael. And the Yaakov says that what is the Gemara, what is the common denominator between Shimshon and Bilam? Shimshon and Bilam, we both see, had this propensity to have relations. And that is the einish for having for being that way. So, there were five that were created that were in a way that they were different and better than everyone else in the world. And all of them, with what they were created, with their wonderful attribute that they were given as a bracha, that attribute actually ended up hurting them. And the Gemara goes through. Shimshon, as we've been learning, had kaychay. Shimshon was very strong. Of course, the Rishonim point out that when the Gemara says there was me'ein dugma shalmala, nothing is comparable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What it means to say was that there was no one in the world that was as strong as Shimshon or the different attributes that the various people were going to learn have. The Maral, however, says that we should understand the Gemara Pashut, that we know the Pasuk says in Parshas Bereishis that we were all created, that the person was created B'Tzelem Elokim. But just because, explains the Maral, the Pasuk says that we were created B'Tzelem Elokim, there are different degrees. And there are those that are closer to the Tzelem Elokim, and there are those that are further from the Tzelem Elokim. These people in the various attributes that we're going to learn were most similar to the Tzelem Elokim. Another pshat that I saw is that Dugma Shamala refers to the Malachim. The Malachim are different and better than us, and these individuals were like Malachim. So again, the Gemara points out what they were. Shimshon b'koychoi, Shaul b'tzavoroi, with his neck. Avshalom was blessed with sa'aroi, that the Ben Yehuda explains that Avshalom's hair was different than everyone else's hair, but because by Avshalom, each hair was like a strand of silk. Tzidkiyah be'enov, Tzidkiyah with his eyes, Asa b'raglov. And now, says the Gemara, each one of these people who had these wonderful attributes, those attributes were what were worth what they were punished. Shimshon, says the Gemara, was punished with Bekoche, with his strength, the Ksiv, as the Pasuk says, after Delilah cut his hair, V'yasa Koche me'olav, he lost all of his strength. Shaul b'tzavoroi, Shaul was punished with his neck, the Ksiv, V'yikach Shaul as a cherev, the Pasuk says, Shaul took the sword, v'yiplalel. And typically, when we speak about death of a sword, it means decapitation by the neck. Avshalom b'saroi, k'raminan l'meim l'kamon. The Gemara Mitzvashem is going to describe the entire episode of Avshalom. Tzidkiyah be'enav d'ksiv, v'es enei tzidkiyah iver. They caused him to become blind. Asa b'raglev, Asa was punished with his feet. D'ksiv, rak l'esik nasoi, when Asa got old, cholas raglev. What does that mean? V'amar Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, she'achsoi padgaroi. He became sick with padgaroi, which affects the feet. It's a disease of the joint. Amalei ma zutra b'rei Rav Nachman l'Rav Nachman. Heichi dami padagra. So the Gemara goes into this disease called padagra. Amalei kamach b'basachai. The person feels as if there are needles poking him. Menoy Yoda, asked the Gemara, how did Rav Nachman know the symptoms of this disease? Ikadamri mekish havachoshbe, that he himself unfortunately suffered from this disease. Veikadamri Rabbi Shamalei, he didn't suffer from it, but he learned from his Rebbe what are the symptoms of this disease. Veikadamri Sayyid Hashem Lireyav Abrisalay Diyam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches Tamid Chachamim everything they need to know. Darish Rava. Why was Asa punished, as we learned that he suffered on his feet? He used Talmid Chachamim to go to war. Shenemar, the Pasuk says that Basha, Melch Yisrael, made a tower that which he would be able to use as a place to attack. The Melch Asa, Hashmir is called Yehuda. Melech Asa gathered all the Bnei Yehuda, Einoki. To no one was exempt. My Einoki, Amar Yehuda Merav, Afil Chosim Chadroi, even a Chosim from his room, the Kalam Chupasoi, he didn't give anybody a chance to be exempt from the war. So the Mefarshim ask, the Gemara says that what he did was, Asa and Gaya B'Talmid Chachamim. But here we don't find that he did with Talmid Chachamim. He only did with a chassan and a kalab. So Aruch explains that the way to understand the Gemara is with a kalab chaymer. If even a chassan and a kalab who are enjoying just getting married, also made them leave their room to go to war, certainly he made Talmid Chachamim do so as well. The Masha explains that the basis of the Gemara is because the Pasuk says, "Es kol Yehuda ein naki." The Pasuk means to say that everybody in Yehuda, ein naki, no one was exempt. So why was he punished, explains the Inyaka Baraglov. Why was he punished, Baraglov, for doing so? So the Inyaka explains, the Mida Kenegan Mida here is, the Pasuk says, as kol hayukum asher baragleyam. And he explains that Angaria here does not necessarily mean that he took them out to war. But rather, he explains that Angaria means that even though normally Talmid Chachamim may be exempt from paying taxes, the Asa did not give Talmid Chachamim this exemption. And so that means he took away the money from the Talmidei Chachamim. And money is called Yikum Asher Beraglim. The Karen Oira, however, explains that Torah is the support, is the foundation of the entire world. And since he caused the Talmidei Chachamim should not be able to learn, he took away the support of the world, the foundation of the world, so his feet, on which he stands on, were afflicted as well. That's along the same pshat that I saw, is that the Yam says the Tzaddik is called Tzaddik Yisoid Olam. And I saw that another pshat from the Sefer Maaseh Tovya, that Pythagoras, which the Gemara just described, is a disease that doesn't have a refuah. And what the Gemara means to say was that if somebody starts up with Talmid Chachamim, not only will he be afflicted, but Rachman Tzon is afflicted with a disease which there is no refuah. So again, Dar Shrava, Ramnei Ma'ananish Asa, Neshan Asa, and Gaia B'Talmid Chachamim, Shinema, V'Melech Ashto Yishmir, is called Yuda Einoki. May Einoki, Omer Rabbi Yudah Mara, Afil Chos Mechad Rekal Mechapasoi. Ksiv, the Gemara returns to discussing the episode of Shimshon. The Pasuk says, V'yerish Shimshon Timnasoi, and the Pasuk says that when he came to Timna, V'yar Isha B'Timnasoi B'Mnois Plishtim. V'Ksiv, the Pasuk says, regarding the city of Timnasoi, and when Tamar, with the story with Yehuda and Tamar, the Pasuk says, Hinech Chamich, the Pasuk said, they said to Tamar, Hinech Chamich Oyle Timnasa. So the question here is, was going Timna, was it on the top of the city, and you had to go up, on top of the mountain, and you had to go up to it? Was it on the bottom? Amar Abelazar, Shimon Shin Shinizganaba, Shimshin, who had a downfall there, Ksibbe Yerida, the word Yerida is used regarding that city. Yehuda Shnes Alba, Yehuda who did the right thing, as we're going to learn, in that city. Therefore, it says there Loshen Aliyah. Rashmu ba Nachmeni Amar Shtei Timna Asayu. There were two different cities with the name Timna. Chada Yerida. One was at the bottom of the mountain. That's why by Shimshon it says Yerida, because Shimshon went to that city. V'chada, and another city was Baliyah on the top of the mountain by Yehuda. Rapapa Amar Chada Timna Hava. There was only one city whose name was Timna. It matters how you get there. Dosma Hagisa, if you come from one side, Yerida, you have to go down. Dosma Hagisa, if you come from the other side, Balia. Kegoin, and he says there were other cities that are like that. Verdini, Ubebari, Vishuka de Narish. The Pasuk says, so since we mentioned the Yehuda and Tamar, the Gemara goes into that story. The Pasuk says, V'teisha b'pesach enayim. What does that mean? Amar Alexandri, M'lamit shahoch v'yoshu l'piskah shel Avram Avinu. Tamar sat at the entrance of the home of Avram Avinu. Shekol enayim tzoyfis l'roysoi. Everybody was anxious to connect to that city. Rav Chanan Amar, Rebbe, Makom hu shishma enayim. There is a place, there's a location that's called enayim. The Pasuk says in Yeshua, the city is called Tapuch Ve'enom. Mashmu Manacham Amar, Shnosna Naim Vodvareha. Everybody wanted to hear what she had to say. Kishatava, because we know Yehuda wanted to have relations with her. So, but before Yehuda had relations with her, he began a conversation with her. Amla, and he said to her, Shemer Nachrasat. Maybe you're not Jewish, and I, therefore, may not have relations with you. And as I saw the Mefarshim point out, the Mashal points out, that Yehuda was Kayim Kol Torah Kula, and therefore, even having relations at that point, which was not a Nisr, and even maybe only a Sidur Rabbanon, he was Machbet. So she responded, Giyorisani, I am a Giyoris. So then he said to her, Shem Eish Sitzat, but maybe you're an Eishes Ish. And if you're an Eishes Ish, of course, I may not have relations with you. Amalei Pnuyani, I am single. So then he said to her, Shemekil Bach Avich Kedushin, maybe your father accepted Kedushin for you, and you don't even know it, but you're married. Amalei, so she responded, Yisaymani, my father died when my mother was still pregnant with me, and therefore, as we often have learned in this Masechta, well, often I've learned in Seder noshim that only a father has the ability to be makadish a daughter when she's a ketana, no one else. And she said she's not a ketana, so she never had a father. So then he asked her, Shema Temeat, maybe you're Nida. Amala, to which she responded, to Hirani, I'm not Tayr. So the question here is that here was saying, he was asking about her father. And the Gemara teaches us, Rashi and Chumash teaches us, that the reason that Yehuda wanted her to be burnt was because she was a Bita Shel Kayin, she was the daughter of Shem, who was considered a Kayin. And asked in Yaakov, if that, here was saying that she clearly wasn't Shem's daughter. So how do we understand that Rashi? So I saw that the Sefer in Yaakov explains that what it meant to say is that since she was married into the family of Yehuda, that's why she was able to be treated like a Bas Koyin. But the Taz asks a question. Even though we just learned that Yehuda asked her if she's a Nida, and she said if she's not, the halacha is that a couple that's going to get married, the girl who's going to get married has to keep seven Zayin Nikiyim, 7 days that she doesn't see any dam before the chasana because of dam chimud. So why wasn't that a consideration? So the Taz says, different than we learned earlier in our shir, that is only a din derabbanan, and Yehuda was not makbid, was not careful with that din. But then the Taz says a chiddush. He says that this halacha, that a kala has to, and of course this is not the halacha, lemaisa, that this halacha that a kala has to keep 7 days clean before they actually have the marriage is only if they plan a wedding. So if you're planning a wedding and there's the excitement of the wedding, the dam chimud, the halacha requires those 7 days. But if somebody's just getting married immediately, as the story with Yehuda and Tamar was, he met her and they were getting married immediately, there is no requirement of the 7 days. The Pasuk says, since it says that Tamar was at the entrance of the oil of Avram Avinu, the Pasuk says, V'yita eshel ber sheva, Amar shlokish, melamach osa pardes. Avram Avinu planted a field, V'notaba kamin in the gadim, where he planted all different types of delicious fruit. Rav Yehuda ben Nechemya amar charama pardes, one says it was a field, charama, it was a pundik, it was a hotel. So says the Gemara, Bishlam l'mandam pardes, according to the mandam that says it was a field. So we understand the word, hainu d'ksivayite, planted, you plant the field. Elamandamar, that what it was a pundik, was a hotel. Ask the Gemara, my vayita, how do we understand the word vayita? Says the Gemara, the word vayita is used even in making a home, k'riksiv vayitel oil a panda, that you use that even for planting, for making a hole. The Nesivis Oilam in the Maral, in the Sefer Nesivis Oilam of the Maral, explains what is this machloikus. What does Avram Avinu was the paradigm of Chesed. As we know, the Pasuk says, Chesed l'Avram. And the question was, the machloikus here is, what is a greater Chesed? To give somebody to eat, or to give someone where to sleep? Another pshat that I saw is that Avram Avinu's entire purpose in doing this chesed, as we know, was to get people to realize the HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. And the question, the Gemara, the question, the debate over here was, what was a better way for Avram Avinu to accomplish that? The Pasuk says, V'yikra Shem Hashem Kael Olam Amar Shlokish Al Tikra V'yikra Ela V'yakri. V'yakri means that he caused Hashem's name to be called. Melamed Shikri Avram Avinu L'shmoy Shel Kadosh Baruch Hu B'fi Kol Oyvav V'shav. Avram Avinu made that everybody that passed by should mention Hashem's name. Ketzad, what does that mean? So says the Gemara, Lacha, after Avram Avinu hosted everybody, Amdul Varchai, they wanted to bless him and thank him. Amalem and Avram Avinu would say to them, V'chim Shaliach Haltem, the food that you have come from me. It comes from Hashem. Hodu v'shivchu baruchu. Give praise l'misham avay olam. Give praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I saw that the close of Magen Rebbe asks that this is how Avraham Avinu got them to say Birchas Hamazon. But here, what about Birchas Hanenim that we have to say before? And his question really is, the halacha is that we're not allowed to give someone to eat unless he's going to wash his hands, unless he's going to make a bracha. So the close of Magen Rebbe says a very interesting teretz. He says, the chiyuv of Birchas Hamazon is a chiyuv deraisa. The chiyuv of Birchas Hanenim, the chiyuv of Netilas Yadayim, is a derabbanan. The Avraham Avinu recognized he wants them ultimately to fulfill the chiyuv deraisa Birchas Hamazon. If he wants them ultimately to fulfill the mitzvah of deraisa, he can't start by telling them to wash or make Birchas Hanenim. They won't want to. That's why he concentrated that they should make the Birchas Hamazon Daraisa. We go back to the story of Yehuda and Tamar. The pasuk says, "V'yireh Yehuda v'yachshiveh lezoina kichissa panel." Ask the Gemara, "Mishum the chissa panel, because she covered her face, chashve lezoina." That's why she's considered a zoina. On the contrary, the zoina doesn't cover her face. Amar Belazar, she kissed the panel beis chamia. He wasn't able to recognize her because she was always so modest when she lived in his home that he didn't really know her. Any kala that's modest in an in-law's home, who do we learn this from? Says the Gemara, we learn this from Tamar. Neviim deksiv chazon yishayoba amatz, who was a descendant of Tamar, Melachim midavid v'amar Rabbi Levi David zemesaris biyadenim avaseinu amatz v'amtzio achim hava. They were both brothers who were descendants of Shevet Yehuda. They were descendants of Tamar. So I saw the Ben Ish Chai explains what's the Mida Keneg Mida, that a person who acts modestly, why is she acting that way? Because she doesn't want anybody to do the wrong thing with her. So Melochim and Neviim are also people whose lives are to prevent people from doing the wrong thing. Another pshat is that a king is not somebody who's available to the public. Not everybody sees the king. So too, Tamar, because she acted in that way, had descendants that were not just people that everybody saw. The pasuk says, "He mitzais, she was taken out to be burned." Says the Gemara, "He mitzais b'bayle." The word mitzais means that would mean that she was taken out against her will. Of course, if she was being taken out to be burned, that's the proper wording. Amar Belazar, after they found the simonim of Yehuda that he had given her, Bos Samal v'richkam. Samal knew that the union, that the children that would be born from Tamar, as we just learned, would be the greatest in our history. And he did not want that they should be born. So what he did was he tried to hide them. And Bar Gavriel, the Gavriel, who is the malach that's in charge of Sreifa, I saw the Mashal explains, then Eliyahu explains that he's the Malach of Gevurah, and he Kirvan. And that, says the Gemara, what the Pasuk in Tehillim speaks about. Lamnatzeach al yoinas elim rechoikim leDavid michdam. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Mishosh nesrach kusimina, when she could not find his simonim that Yehuda had given her, nasa kiyoina elmas. She became like a quiet dove. The David Michtam, but then ultimately Yotzman of David, Shahaya Mach Vatam. Mach means he was modest. Vatam means that he was whole in all of his facing and all of his action. Davar Acher Michtam Shahisamakasai Tamai. That when he was born, he was already born with the Mila. Everybody is born that they have to have a Bris Mila. He was born with a Bris Mila. Davar Acher Michtam, Shem Shabakatnusa Hiktam Atzma Etzmi Shigodlamanu, Lil Matira, David HaMelech, as a young man, went to learn Torah b'Mifi Boishes, just in order to learn. Kach b'gedlosoi, so too when he was an adult, he did anything to be able to learn Torah. So here we're learning all about David HaMelech. Why is he compared to Yonah? So the Mashah explains that Klal Yisrael is compared to Yonah. And David, who's Melech Yisrael, it's appropriate he should be compared to Melech. The Maral explains that the entire origination of the Malchus based David came from this story of Yehuda and Tamar, which is not a story to be so proud of, to show us that Malchus based David is only connected to people who act in the most modest fashion. So the Pasuk says that she sends to her father-in-law the following mention. The person who's the owner of the following things, Anochi Hara, from him I am pregnant. So ask the Gemara, Vatei Mele Meimer, why don't she just explicitly say it? Amrav Zutri Batovya Amrav, Vamalei Amrav Chana Babizda Amrav Yashim Chasida, Vamalei Amrav Yachim Shim Rav Shim Ben Yuchai, Noich Loyla Odom Shiapel Atzmal Tarkif Shreish, Tamar was ready to jump into the fire, Val Yapin Pnei Chaveroi Birabim, and not embarrass someone. Manolon, how do we know this? We know this from Tamar, because Tamar was ready to give up her life rather than jump into the fire. So of course, the Rishonim ask, we know that the Gemara often describes that the three Averis for which one has to be ready to give up their life are Gilui Arayos and Shfichas Damim and Avodah Zarah. But now we have another one that's not embarrassing somebody. So why is that not included? So Taisu says the reason that it's not included is because we only include what is explicit in the Torah. This is not explicit in the Torah. The Rebbeinu Yoina, however, says that what does Halbonas Pana mean? Halbonas Pana means that when a person is embarrassed, the color in his face gets drained away. What the Gemara here means to say, and therefore, which is like murder, and therefore, the Gemara, when the Gemara says halbanos panim, is something you should give up your life because it's included in shvichas damim. The Meiri says that the reason it's not included in the list is really suggest achroinim a machloikus rishonim between the Meiri and Taisus, because the Meiri Taisus learns. It's obvious that Taisus learns that one is obligated to give up his life. That the Miri says that our Gemara should not be taken literally. What our Gemara means to say is that from here we learn how serious it is to embarrass someone, but one is not obviously obligated to give up his life. I saw an interesting discussion where somebody accused one of his workers that he stole something. And the question is one allowed to go through his knapsack, go through his worker's papers in order, worker's possessions, to see if he stole something? And Rav Shlomo Zalman says that it's better, if you think that your worker is stealing from you, he says it's better to fire that worker but not check his bags, because that is most embarrassing. Hakana, so Tamar says to Yehuda, Hakana, recognize who is the owner of these various items that Yehuda had given her. Amar Chama Rav Chanina, Bahaka Bisal Aviv. Yehuda had used that word when he went to tell Yaakov Avinu that Yosef wasn't alive, and those were the words that were used against him. Bahaka Pesruha. Bakabisir, because we find that Yehuda says to Yaakov Avinu, Hakana Haksonis Pincha, tell me if this is the Ksonis of your son. And here too, Bahakabisrua, because Thomas said to Hakana Lami. No, ain't no Eloshim Bekasha. She used the word no. What does the word no come to say? Says the Gemara Amalai. Thomas said to Yehuda, Bakashim Cha, I beg of you, Hakapne Baracha, recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'al Talam Encha Mimeni, don't treat me this way. V'yakir Yehuda v'yomit tzotkim v'meni, that Yehuda admitted that she is correct. Hand amar avchana b'abizda amar avshimah chasida, Yosef shekid shemayim b'seisr, that Yosef, that the story with the wife of Potiphar, zochel lo v'hoysel achas mishmoy shel Kodesh Baruch Hu. You had Hashem, one of the letters of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name were added to him. The Ksiv, Edis B'Yosef Shamay. Yehuda, Shekidah Shem Shemayim B'Feresya. Yehuda, who made this Kiddush Shemayim, that everybody knew what he did. It wasn't something that was done. Zoch V'Nikra Kula Shemay Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu. So I saw that the Shem Shmuel explains that the name of a person represents who he is. Yehuda, whose entire being was to make Kiddush Hashem. So that's why he was called Yehuda, that has the entire Shem Hashem. Yosef, who only was Mekadesh Shem Shemayim quietly, so that's why he's not called completely based on the Shem Hashem. He's only called Yehoisef. Says the Gemara, Kivin Shehoida, says the Gemara, once Yehuda admitted to what happened, Vama Tzotkir, Mena Yotz Baskal Omra, Ate Yitzal to Tamar V'Shnei B'Nea, you saved Tamar and her two children from death, Min Ar, from being burned, Chayecha She'animatza B'Schus HaShloich She'Benechem and Ar. Your descendants will have the same situation. Maninu Chananya Mishal V'Zarya. Tzotkir Mimeni, Mena Yoda, says the Gemara, how did he know? Yotza Baskol. A Baskol came out for Amra, Mimeni Yotza Kavushim. I wanted that Malchus Yehuda should be created in this fashion. Tzot Gemenu, says the Gemara, the Pasuk says, V'loyosav oid ledata, Oma Shmuel Sava, Chamud Rav Shmuel Bar Ami, Mishmeid Rav Shmuel Bar Ami, says the Gemara, Kivin Shiyoda, once Yehuda recognized, Shuv Le Pasuk Gemenu, he constantly remained attached to her. Ksiv Hocha, V'loyosav oid ledata, V'ksiv Hasa by Kabbalah Zatayra, Kol Godel V'loyosav. So that it was the same. Actually, this Gemara uses the wording that Shmuel Saba Chamur the Rav Shmuel Bar Ami. Shmuel Sava was the father-in-law of Shmuel Bar Ami. It's well known that in the Sefer Rabbi Yehuda and the Tzavar of Yehuda Chassid, it says that a father-in-law and a son-in-law should not have the same name. Yet here we find that Shmuel Saba was the father-in-law of Shmuel Bar Ami. So how could they have the same name? And there are many that discuss this question. Rabbi Avad Yosef in the Tshuva says that it only means three generations. Here it was only two generations. Another explanation is that only if they both have the exact same name, they're called by the exact same name. Here we find that it was Shmuel Sova and Shmuel Bar Ami. And since they didn't have the exact same name, that's why it's not an issue. The Noi de Behuda says it's only an issue for the descendants of Yehuda HaChassid. Certainly this was before the time of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. Rav Moshe says it's only in a situation where the people who we're talking about care about it. But if you don't care about it, Man the Makbid Kabdinim B'nei, the one that's concerned about it is an issue. The other one, anyone else, it's not.